You know, we're going to talk about the new life. What did I say? The new life. Before we talk about that, I want to make some 7 points to you. Some very important 7 points to you. Number one is that you need to know the truth. What did I say? I want to hear you. You need to know the truth. Let's say it loud. I didn't hear you. You say it louder. You need to know the truth for yourself. It's a weapon against deceit. And the devil tries to deceive us all the time. Tries to deceive us all the time. And he uses scripture also to try to deceive you. He used it against Jesus. He used scripture against Jesus. But Jesus said it is what? Written. If you're not grounded in the accurate interpretation of the word of God, you'll be very vulnerable to deceit. Very, very easily deceived. Because they'll quote scripture for you. But they'll quote it out of context. So you need to know the truth for yourself. It's one thing you owe yourself. So that when they bring those satanic narratives, you will understand the divine narrative. I'm telling you, you quoted scripture for Jesus. And the one that was deceiving them that Paul met, said, these are the servants of the Most High God who have come to show us the way of salvation. Is that not what they came to do? Again, the only attacking weapon you have as a Christian is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. There is no weapon that you use to attack the enemy except the word of God. And then you cannot be a disciple of Jesus except you know the word. You cannot be. And your life will change. I'm telling the truth of the matter. I've been in this business for years. Your life is not going to change. You see, the Pharisees, they were stuck in the laws of Moses. They knew it. They taught it. But their life didn't change. Their life didn't change. They were still the same wicked people they were. And Jesus said, you want to kill me? A man who has told you what? The truth. You want to kill me? Because they were heartless. They were wicked people. The laws of Moses cannot produce the life of God in anybody. Cannot produce the love of God in anybody. So we must be people who are interested in knowing it. Unfortunately, many people go to church who have no interest in the truth. They want the power. But without the truth, you won't have faith for the power. See what Jesus said in John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, that's to us Christians who believe in him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. What? Indeed, it is the word of God that will renew your mind and transform your life to be like that of Jesus. The Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. There's no magic to it. There's no magic to it. And then he said, and you shall know the truth if you continue in it. You don't know the truth because you read it today. You don't know the truth because you are even preaching it. If you continue practically in it, not just reading it, practically in it. If you continue in it, then you will have the revelation. And then it will begin to work for you. Begin to set you free. And I want you to hear this one. You cannot honor God more than you honor his word. Forget about what we do in church and all the semantics that we carry out in church. Forget about those things. If you don't honor the word, you can't honor God more than you honor his word. It's not true. You can't honor a man more than you honor the word of the man. If you treat somebody's word lightly, you really have no respect for the person. I'm telling you the truth. I was very shocked when the Lord was telling me this, and I flipped them. You know, I have television, but I don't have television again. So I was watching through one of these apps, and then I flipped the app, and it was Kenny Copeland. He said, the Lord told me to tell the church that they're not honoring him because they're not honoring his word. I was shocked. The same thing God gave me. And he said, I was in a conference, and the big conference, and people were outside talking while they were preaching. The Lord said to me, those people don't honor me at all. And we come into the house of God, we make noise. The word is being preached. Somebody is doing preaching the word, preached on the school word. It's being brought during prayers. We are making noise, walking all over the place. In the normal political protocol of human beings, before the president comes in, you're all seated. and you don't move around. If you move around, Secret Service people are watching you. And the president comes in, everybody what? Stands up. This is not, America, everybody stands up. And when he finishes, you must follow protocol. You don't move until he leaves. If you move, FBI will collect you outside and search you very well. You don't, they have very strict protocol. You don't. And when the president stands, he's working with his ministers. Once he starts talking to a foreign leader, all the ministers move back. They don't go near. They move back and put, there's a way they've been trained to put their hands either this way or this way. Watch them. Put your hand where they sit. Where they are watching you. Put your hand in the pocket. Maybe I will take notice. Maybe you have something. Put it where we sit. Put it where we sit. Because we are protecting this one. This is a human being. President. But we talk of God that the angels bow before. Maker of heaven, what? And all the glory and the honor we show to him is when his word is being preached. Do we really think we are too important? Do we really think we are too important? That without us, God can do nothing. Why do you buy all this kind of demonic stuff that elevates you to what you have? Job 22:2-3, he said, is it benefit to God that you are doing good? He said, it's not God, it's you that is benefiting from it. So if you are not honoring God, you are treating him lightly, his word will mean nothing to you. You will be more interested in the rituals and semantics than in the real deal, which is the word of God. If your father is talking to you and you are disrespecting his word, are you not disrespecting your father? He's talking to you, you are walking out of here, I'm hearing you, and you are doing what you are doing, and greeting people. And God says, if you treat me lightly, I will also what? Treat you lightly. I'm telling you, I've been in this thing for a long time. I've seen people, many years Christian, their life hasn't moved on it. I was brought up in laws, you know, legalistic system, where we preached judgment, preached hell, preached all that kind of thing, hoping to frighten people away from committing sin. But I didn't know that God doesn't use fear. That fear is not of God. But that was all we were doing. But I found out that among us, adultery and fornication was so much. The more we did that, the more it was spreading. From choir master to everybody. And then myself, leave them alone. I never was gentle with my wife at all. I was so harsh, so critical, judgmental. And she was having serious stress because of me. If she ever did anything, I'll judge it and I'll say, no, this is not. Yeah. And then I was leading Life Center, and then we'll go to submit our report. I will stand in line. Our leader will come and say, bro, good morning, bro. My report, sir. He said, did you do this? Yes, sir. Did you do this? Yes, sir. I said, yes, sir. Immediately after service, we continue while we stop, me and my wife. I was so ignorant and so carnal. I didn't know the mind of God. Let me tell you the truth. If you don't know the word, your character won't change. It won't change at all. You would think it's changed, you're deceiving yourself. People who work with you closely will know you're not changing. John 8:37. I know that you are Abraham's seed. Yeah, I know you are Christians. You go to church. I don't have any doubt about it. You are Abraham's seed. But you seek to kill me now. John 8:37. Put it up. King James Version. Okay. I know that you are Abraham's seed. But you seek to what? Come on. You are not listening. You seek to what? Is that love? Seek to kill me. And he told them the reason. Because my word had what? They were steeped in the law. They were perfect. Concerning the law, they were, wow, they were in it. And concerning judgment, they will stone you to teach you not to commit sin. They will stone you. You know, the Lord said to me, he said, when you hear a Christian coming to you and said, why don't you preach judgment? He said, they are not talking about themselves. They are talking about you so that God will judge what? Others. He said, the reason they are talking about, they expect you to tell people God will judge you. He said, but where are they? He said it is part of the wickedness of the heart that a man wants God to kill others because of their sin, where his own sin is being padded. That's the part of the wickedness of the heart. That's what they were doing to Jesus. They want to kill him. They want to kill him. He said, I want to kill me. And the only thing I did was tell you the truth. He said, the reason you are doing this, my word has what? No place. He said, that's the only reason you are doing all of this. Now, when a man comes to church and is not interested in the word of God, and we read this word, I'm doing quiet time. I read it. May not have a place in us at all. John 5:39. Search the scripture, for in them you think you have what? Eternal life. So you think he's studying it, reading it, is what gives you eternal life. And there are they who testify. But he said, the scripture reveals me to you. So you come to me. You come to me. I will walk in. That's a work I have to do in your life. So he reveals me to you. That you might have what? And testify of me, and you will not come to me now. That you might have life. So I've received not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. You don't have my word in you, you don't have the love of God in you, you are wicked people. One of the things that I've been quietly really asking God questions, how can somebody hear the scripture, hear this gospel 10, 15 years and doesn't change? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And the Lord taught me something amazing. He taught me about loving him and gave me an example with husband and wife. And I said, if a person doesn't love me, he's like a woman who is marrying a husband he doesn't love. He said, that relationship will be based on obligation, not willingness. I'm here now. She I'm married. After all, he's paying school fees. So that's the way a lot of people see me. I'm paying school fees for them. I'm giving them blessing. I answer their prayer. So that's all. So but their heart is really not with me. So the only thing that will make your heart to be with me is that you love me. And that the only thing that will make you do things willingly with me is because you love me. And the only thing that can sustain you following me is because you love me. Say the most powerful motivation on earth is love. Then fear is the other opposite one. Then he said to me, he said, do you know when, he said, when a Christian is living in a community and living like kind of person, troublemaking, doing all those kind of things, and people know his or her life, he said, do they respect the person? I said, no. He said, do you think devils respect the person? I'm telling you. He said, do they respect a person living in the community, in the place of work? They know you are a troublemaker and everything. He said, do they respect his testimony? I said, no. He said, then do you think that devils respect that person? So that's why they say, Paul, we know. We know Jesus. But we have no respect for you. Who are you? They asked me, say, human beings who don't respect you, say, do you think devils respect you? Say, they know when you are serious and when you are not serious. If I stop here, I've preached. For many years, I was a Christian, very zealous, house-to-house evangelism, but my life didn't change, tell you the truth. And when I came here, I went to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not pastoring again. I said, I don't want to be pastoring when people are not changing. I said, I don't want any income where nothing is working. I said, I'm a pharmacist, licensed, I can practice it. I was sitting in my office. I said, Lord, I'm not, no more. I'm done. I said, I'm done. Find somebody else. 40 days, I'll go to the Lord. I said, I'm done. So this is not producing. That's when he said to me, you are not preaching my gospel. You are not giving them my word. I said, what have I been preaching? He said, you are preaching laws of Moses. He said, have you preached my son Jesus yet? He's the truth. I don't want to go into that. Say, you don't have my word in you. That's why you're wicked. That's why I want to kill. That's why I want to curse her. That's why you quarrel. That's why you fight. That's why you're selfish. That's why everything was a drop of around you. So, carnal it. Carnal it. The greatest hindrance to preaching the gospel is the carnal life of the Christian. Even our children. I remember one young girl in Queen's College. It was time to go home. She came to my wife. She said, I don't want to go home. The father owned an aircraft. That's as rich as they were. He said, I don't want to go home. He said, since I was born, nobody has spoken to me like a mother like you. He said, my father is very responsible. I don't want to go to that home again. I want to follow you. She's here. With all that money, a young girl said, I don't want it. I don't want that place. Do you know how many young youths that said, my parents are discouraging us? Do you know how many of them? Is it because we don't talk to you? They go to school, they tell them there's no God, they come home, you confirm it. Because the kind of careless life we live. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come and say, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My little boy came to me and said, Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be like you. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, I want to be like you. As the mom. Say, your life and your teaching has saved me. That's my last word. So last Sunday, we were talking and saying that Jesus said something that is so critical. He said, except a man is what? Born again. He shall not see the kingdom. He said, except you have this new nature, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You can't see it. Not talk of entering. So that it's something that is non-negotiable. And Paul said the same thing in Galatians 6:15. He said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new nature. A new nature. A new what? Nature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon Israel of God. Paul said, circumcision or no circumcision, whatever you do, all these things we do are valid nothing. That the main thing is having a new what? Nature. Exactly what Jesus said. Except the man is what? Born again. Except he has a new nature. He can't see the kingdom of God. Because flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. And then we told you that the scripture tells us how it happened. It didn't happen by 10 commandments. It didn't happen by effort of a man. Because the scripture said, can a leper change his skin? He said, how can you change you that are accustomed to doing evil? You can't change your nature. It's only God that can change the nature of a human being. So sometimes you tell people, are you born again? Say, I said, how do you know you're born again? He said, I used to tell lies. I'm not telling the which is a lie. All the things I used to do, I don't do them again, which is another lie, and that tells you he doesn't know what he's talking about. Why don't you say, I came to Christ and he gave me a new nature and I'm growing in it? Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. I came to Jesus. He gave me a new life. And I'm growing what? In it. Growing every day. Growing, maturing, gradually, gradually growing in it. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, so that you shall what? Grow. I'm growing in it. And Paul wrote to every church he wrote to about this very important thing, being born again, having a new nature. And the reason that we don't change is that we don't know these things. We don't know them. We read them, and like who was leading prayer said, we read these things. Do we really have understanding? I didn't for many years. I'm telling you the truth. I didn't for many years. I didn't. Zealous without knowledge. So Paul will write to all the churches. Colossian church, he wrote to them in Colossians 2:11. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. He said, Christ did it. He did it. He did it. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. Then he wrote the Romans, the church in Rome, Romans 6:4, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now also we may live new lives. Then he wrote to Galatians, Galatians 3:26, for you are all children of God by faith in who? Christ. For as many as of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you came to Christ, you were baptized into him. If any man is in Christ. So when you come into Christ, you put on his life. He gives you his life. Gives you his new nature. And all of these things work by faith. The only way you can receive the things of God is to believe it is true and it is yours. Faith doesn't make it work. Faith receives what already has been what? Given. The Bible says we are saved by grace. Now, through faith, you receive what grace has done. Grace already did it. Already did it. Already did it. Already what? Did it. So you come along and you hear the word of God, you receive what grace has already given you. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Grace already brought it when Jesus died and rose from the dead. So it's only by faith you receive what God has given us. And then Paul testifying how he came to realize that his nature has changed. You all know that, and we say that as a man thinketh in his heart, so he will be. So if you don't understand that God has changed your nature, you are disregarding and ignoring the work of God in your life. It won't work. It won't work. You can't set it aside. It won't work. It's like ignoring that God is healing you, set it aside that they expect to be healed. You can't ignore what God has done. That's dishonoring God. If you want to honor God, you honor what he has done. If God says, I've changed you, they got to honor it. You got to say, yes, Lord, because you're not a liar. Again, it's not by feeling. Amen? I said it's not by feeling. You know, a lot of people want to feel saved. They want to feel what? Saved. Some people think, until they feel good, people, they say the spirit is not moving. God has done most powerful things when nothing was happening. The word feel, stop using it. There's no scripture that says the judge shall live by his feeling. So I feel it. Feel the anointing. I don't feel nothing. But I know that if God says it, it is yea. And then I don't have to feel anything. When you were saved, made a new creature, what did you feel? So Paul said, I know it. Can you say, I know it? Come on, say it. I know it. Paul said, I know this. It's not that I feel it. I know it. I know it. He said, I know this thing. This one thing I know. Watch Paul. He's always talking about what he knows, not what he feels like. Doesn't fear nothing. He said, I know this one thing. He that has started what? The good one. I know in whom. Watch his language. It's not I fear. It's that I know it. I know it. I know this. It be revealed to me that this is the truth. I've come to know this truth, and I'm walking in this truth, and nobody can take it from me. Feeling it or not, it's not relevant. Whatever is happening around me, none of these things move me. I know it. I listened to a testimony by Smith Wigglesworth, how he was praying for somebody who was sick, and the woman died. Well, can you imagine? You started praying for somebody from 11, by 3 a.m., the woman died. I mean, you are watching him, she died. From 11 to 3. Instead of being healed, the woman finally what? Died. You know what he said? He said, praise the Lord. It is time to renew my strength. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Stubborn faith. Stubborn. Stubborn. That who said no? He said, it is time to renew. And immediately he said that, the Lord stood before him smiling. Like Jesus said, that's my boy. And looked at the dead man. The dead man got up. The woman got up. Totally well. Okay. Outlived the husband. Stayed and had more children. Outlived the husband. Because somebody said, I know in whom what? Yeah. You're not. This is what God said. I'm staying here. This is true. So let's hear what Paul said. In 2 Corinthians 5:13. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your what? Benefit. So if you think that I'm crazy by saying these things I'm saying, it is to bring glory to God. If you think I'm doing right, I'm in my right mind, it's okay. It's not to bring glory to God. What I know is what I'm telling you is true. What I'm telling you is what? It's true. So if you think I'm crazy, that's okay. But if you think I'm in my right mind also, that's okay. And then the next verse. Verse 14. Either way, whether you think I'm crazy or not, either way, Christ's love what? Controls us. Since we believe, we believe this truth that Christ died for all. We also believe that we have all died to our old. You see, what he was writing to the church is what he believed. He wasn't trying to change himself. He wasn't trying. He said, we believe that Christ died for us. We believe that we too have died. Not going to die. Put it up again. Verse 14. Either way, Christ's love controls us, since we believe that Christ died for what? All. We also believe now that we have all died to what? Our old life. He said, that's it. I believe it. I'm not who I used to be. Period. Then continue, verse 15. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for who? For them. Verse 16. Come on, verse 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from human what? You are not reading this one. We have stopped evaluating others from what? He said, at one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now? He said, I've stopped that kind of carnal thinking. I have a revelation now. I'm no more looking at Christ the way I used to look at him. Now I know that when he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. And he gave me a new life. He gave me his life. He said, now I know that. And I believe so. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ now has become, the old life is gone. A new life has. Listen to me, child of God. You don't believe this? This doesn't rule your life? Your life will change. I'm not kidding you. You can't set aside the cross. You can't set aside the grace. You can't set aside the hand, the power of God. You cannot. You don't believe this? Change yourself. Let me see. 40 days, I said to God, this thing I'm preaching is not working. I'm not preaching again. I said, Lord, I'm not in this job because I didn't go to school. I paid $800 to pharmacy board, to USC, to change my license. I said, I can go back. And I will make more money. My wife and I were in the lowest rung of tax people. When my tax accountant looks at me, say, Pastor, this is where both of you are. I think they have stage 1, 2, 3, something. We are at the bottom line, both of us combined. Both of us. This one, you see, she's looking like this. Don't mind that. The tax thing, we are at the bottom line, and us, we are the poor people. But I've been waiting for this tax reform, whether it will benefit me small. Because we are at the bottom. That is, after us, there is no more level to fall. If you fall to my level, you are welcome. That's where we are. I said to the Lord, I can earn more. Even me that was talking didn't know this thing. That's when he said, have you preached my son yet? Do you know him? Paul said, I used to know Jesus from Cana point of view. He said, not anymore. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. He said, there's something I now believe that he did, that he achieved for me. The old life is gone. Verse 18. And all of this is a gift. And all of this is what? A gift from God. All of it is a gift from God. Who brought us back to himself through Christ. And had given us, watch the language, it's always past tense, has given us the task of reconciling what? People to himself. And so when Paul says, I have a new life now, that the love of God is what controls me. You must know that in the New Testament, brethren, that the key thing is the life of Christ, and the summary of the life of Christ is love and faith. The commandment of the New Testament is not a commandment. First John said, this is my commandment, that you believe and love. That's it. Jesus said, a new commandment are what? He said, you do what? Love like I love. He said, when you love like I love, then people will know you are my disciples. And the Bible tells us that love contains everything God wants. God, love does not do evil. That everything God demands and wants is summed up in one word. Do what? Love. The thing about the love of Jesus, the life of Jesus was, he was a man controlled by the love of God. He was the love of God in manifestation. And his faith in his Father was unshakable. Unshakable. He trusted his Father to the extent that his enemies said so. When he was on the cross, they say, he trusted in God. Let him save him. So even his enemies saw it. So when Paul began to talk about being controlled by the love of God, what he's saying, the life of Jesus has taken me over. Selfishness is dead. Selflessness has come. Can I hear amen? When selfishness dies, you don't count what people do. You're really full of compassion. You know, this one, honey, can I tell this one? Permission, give granted. So this morning, my wife was, I usually would take her clothes and iron in the morning and tell her to get ready. But she said, since you are coming out of the restroom, let me do my ironing. So you dress up, you are preaching. So I mean, we didn't go into all that detail, but we knew that she was ironing. And I left to go get. So she came to me and said, did we hug? I said, I saw you ironing. I said, I didn't want to bother you. I wanted you to complete what you were doing. So I left. She said, okay, we haven't hugged now. So we hugged. Wow. They will hug. Listen to me. Before, I would have tapped and said, I've been waiting for you here. God, we're not hugging now. Huh? That thing you are doing, is it only 1 minute to hug me? Is that why you are doing that kind of thing? That would have been my response before. But I stood there, I said to myself, since she's doing something, let me give her time to what? Complete it. It's not about me. It's about her. Praise the Lord. Whatever will make her happy, that's it. And when she was done, she now came. I said, but we didn't hug. I said, honey, I gave you time to complete what you were doing. I said, now we are completed. Can we now hug? And I hugged her. Don't mind what she's saying. She will laugh that time when she'll be. I will tell you what she tell me. She will laugh and come on. Don't worry, we're in church, all these things. One time I'll tape all this and I'll play for you. First Corinthians 10:32. This love that is controlling Paul is practical. It's practical. It's not just what talk, it's not talking whoa. No, it's real. It's practical. You will see that he's dead to himself. He died. He died to his personal desire, died to his pride. Ego was gone. Everything was dead. So Jesus can now live. So he was gone. The man was dead. He said, I'm dead to the world. It's real. That's what the love of God does. He makes you, he kills you to all these things that bother people. That they will sleep. Look at what he said. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. 33. I too try to what? Please everyone in what? Everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. What? That's the Christian life. I do what is best for what? Others. So that they may be saved. I consider their eternal destiny. What I'm going to do, is it going to impede this person's progress spiritually? Is it going to affect him? Is it going to discourage him? Is it going to make him strong in the Lord? He said, I'm ready to give up everything so that somebody does not backslide because of me. See what the love of God does. The same love that made Jesus give his life so that we don't die and go to hell. The same love is making him give up everything so that somebody else will be saved. The same love. Praise the Lord. So he showed up in his prayer. Showed up in his prayer life. Romans 10 from verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You see where his heart is? He knew hell was real. He bothered him. He didn't want people to go there. They be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to what? Knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes it. He said they are lost. Well, Can you come to the present day Christian talking about people who are lost? You say, hey, God, don't catch them. They are very wicked people, those people. See the thing that happened to them? That is what fits them. It is good for them. I've been telling him to come to church. He's not coming. Now, that thing happened to them. Let them learn from it. That's a wicked heart. That's not the heart of Jesus. A heart that rejoices in evil that befell a fellow human being is heartless, is demonic, it's not Christ. It's not Christ. Paul talked about people who backslid, whose, he said, I talk about them weeping, crying, that they used to be with us. He said, now, their stomach is their God. He said, I talk about it with tears in my eyes. Not rejoicing. He loved them seriously. The same love that God had for them, he has it for them. He wasn't wishing them destruction. He wasn't wishing them, God would judge them and kill them. He wasn't wishing them that. He was crying in his heart. Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why, Paul? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You know, there's a scripture that wicked people use. They say, Paul said, to hand them over to the devil. So that the devil will do what? God and the devil don't work together. God and the devil, they don't what? Work together. God does not use the devil to make you holy. Must know that. Because the scripture told us that light and darkness do not what? So God is, the devil is not complimenting what Jesus did. Get off that kind of nonsense. So people have used it, especially leaders. If you do something they don't like, they say, we hand you over to the devil. Because you did something they don't like. Yeah? I've had it being said. Right here, I just keep quiet. Submitting yourself under that kind of leadership is even stupidity. What Paul is saying here, this man refused to repent. And he told him, he said, instead of repenting and crying, you are what? You are rejoicing. They're celebrating it. He said, since that man has made that choice, let him go with the serving Satan. That Satan will, serving Satan will bring him what he wants now. Because it's his choice. But when he repented, he said, go quickly and bring him what? Back. We know the devices of Satan. He said, quickly bring him back. Quickly. That hand him over to the devil is not that God says, okay, let me throw you out. No. It's the choice that the man also made. After all, when you read what he was talking to the church about widows who are living in immorality, he said that's following after Satan. They've gone after Satan. So he said that man has gone after Satan and refusing the authority of the church. So leave him alone. Let him stop bothering about it. It's his choice. Because the scripture says, it is not the will of God that any should what? Perish. So Paul was not violating the will of God. If you understand that, say amen. If you understand that, say amen. There's one other scripture, if I have time during Bible study, I'll teach it to you. About the kingdom of God. And what Paul said, that we must through tribulation and this enter the kingdom of God. I'm going to show you what it means, what he's talking about. If you are following me, say amen. Amen. So you can see the heart of this man about Israel that didn't know God. He was in sorrow. He was in pain. He was praying. He said, I pray that Israel be saved. Who is praying that people be saved around your area, around this city, or in this nation? Who is praying? Who is heartbroken and saying, Lord, they won't go to hell? Why is the love of God that controls us? Again, Smith Wigglesworth said every Sunday, we used to pray and pray for at least 50 souls to be saved. He said, and we'll see them saved. Every Sunday, we will pray and say, Lord, 50 souls, they are not going to hell. Go and take our prayer list and see it from beginning to end. It's about me, number one. It's about me, number two. It's about me, number three. It's about me, number four. And if there's any man of God that's coming, I'm number one. About me. Epaphras, Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and the servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly for you. Always prays how? Earnestly for you, for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of. This is this man's heart desire. Praying earnestly for you. Who is praying this kind of prayer in this church? Earnestly going to God and saying, Lord, you need to cause us to walk in your will, every one of us. Who is praying this prayer? You are in your youth ministry, you are in the men's ministry, you are in the women ministry, no matter what ministry. Who is praying this prayer? Instead is trouble. Why did he give this to this person? Should have given it to me. It's me. It's me, and me, and me. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're not hearing me. If you come to church and you haven't prayed for the service, you didn't do well. Before I became a pastor, I used to lead Life Center. I would pray for all of them named by one by one. I would pray and pray and pray. Those who didn't have babies, I will pray until they had children. I will pray those who have problems in their families. I will be up and praying and calling them by name. Calling them by name. And I became zonal leader. The thing continued. And miracles overtook the meetings. I have living witnesses. Overtook the meetings. Because I would have prayed it all out before we came there. All the backsliding members of the church started coming back. The big guys, money guys, I went to them and said, you are not God. You are not God. You need God. Come back. And they were coming back, one by one. The place was packed out. We didn't have enough space. They said to me, now you go plant a church. And I went to plant a church. In 3 months, the church was packed out. We didn't have space. They took me to Ajegunle. 3 months, it was packed out. We had 32-man choir. In 3 months, the place couldn't take us. Who is praying like this? What is the love of God? Church, I told you, if you don't have the word of God in you, your life will change. Forget our religious things we do. What is the love of God? What is the life that Jesus gave us that will move you? He said, I prayed earnestly with my desire. Lord, in this church, we have to stand in the will of God. We have to walk perfectly in your revelation. Open our eyes to instant your heart broken, that families have issues, because your family is okay. It's okay. Doesn't move you. People have children who are troubled children. Sometimes God brings it to your notice. Instead of you praying, you are gossiping. You are gossiping. What is the love of God? Wicked, 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 wicked. Jesus said, don't have my word in you. That's why you're wicked. And my love is not working. You know what Christians, Republican and Democrats, the president must die. He said, if I want my to me, he said, wicked person. I said, do you know him? I want to ask you what those kind of things does. How does it move the nation forward? Even if they are wicked, is he not on your knees? Oh, you can move the hand of God. Is he not you that God is looking up to? That's why he gave you his love, his life. So you can look beyond yourself and look at the needs that is all over the place. And you say, Lord, this nation must go right. This nation must go right. You go on your knees. No. The heathens are gossiping, you are gossiping. The heathens are criticizing, you are criticizing. The heathens are angry, you are still. Some of you are still angry because of last election. Some have not even forgiven God for that. I've said it over and over. I was in Canada minding my business. I'm not a politician. Minding my own business. Didn't think about it. The Lord said to me, "Say, I will use foolish things to confound the wise." I said, really? He said, yeah. So I'm going to use a man that knows nothing. He said, because this country, he said, they think they are too much. they are so prideful, they are rich, they're taken. They think their intelligence is rubbish. He said, watch what will happen after election. They will be so shocked. I came home and told Chuka. Why Chuka? I told you. Right there. I was telling you what will happen. I said, the day after election, watch what will happen. Right? But I said, watch what will happen. And the Lord said to me, his qualification is that he's foolish. That's all. He told me, so I will use foolish things to what? A man that has no qualification at all, I will put him there. So that people will know that except the Lord does something, all your intelligence can't achieve it. Still, we haven't learned that lesson yet. I think we are living, be watching. Just be watching. I tell you, just be watching. Did I tell any other person when I came back? Did I tell you? I told you. One day I was teaching Bible studies. I said, by now you should know who will win now. Remember that day? I didn't tell you people because the Lord said, don't tell them. They can't take it. I've never told you by now you should know who will win election. Except that Thursday. I said, you should know by now. The reason is that you are not praying. So God can't give you his topic. He can't show you secret things. So that you can go on your knees and make it what? Happen. You are still gossiping with politicians. You are still gossiping. The love of God is not controlling you. You are still angry. And then you say there's no job. Is it not when we pray that right policies will come into place and jobs will come? Who will pray for it? Is it the politicians? They don't pray. Is it the heathens? They're on drugs. It is you. If my people. But my people are politicians. All they talk about is this will die. And things, looking for job, people come out of school, no job. But God says, if you do that, I will heal your land. I will move things in that land. Make it to heaven for you just because you pray. But what is the love of God? Are you getting my point? When you see a man that lives the life of Christ, he's a very powerful man because God is communicating to him his wisdom. He will tell him things that he doesn't tell people because he knows he's not a selfish man. He knows he will engage it in prayer. He wake him up in the night and say, I want you to pray about Susan. Pray about Susan. Because he knows he will pray with all his heart. Instead of criticizing people, why don't you pray? Why don't you pray? Why don't my wife will go to God about me? Let me report. If you tell somebody, if I hear it, it's both of us. I hear that you told them that I said, me and you, our putle will be in 1,000. Ah, he will say some things, I will say, oh, these things you are talking about. God of mercy. Hey! Pride, ego, growth, cops. No humility in the language. Nothing. No character of Christ. They are lie to his flesh. They will shut her down. Shut her down. I'm the head of this home. What I say goes. In short, you don't even know what you are saying. Women, what do women even know? This is a Christian. She will go on her knees. Say, Lord, over what? And it won't be long. The Lord will be talking. Those who know their God, they are what? Strong. Very strong. In quietness and confidence, you possess your what? Not the noise making and yelling all over the place. Quietly, you appeal to the higher powers. And the higher powers intervene in the affairs of men. Very simple thing. Don't say this. If I said it, am I not your wife? Okay, if I married you, did I tell you to? If you touch me now, I'll tell Pastor Chine, do I touch me? Okay, if you know my mama born, you touch me. Touch me again. I'll cut that fast for you. I'll tell my mother, I don't know why I married you. What is the difference between you and the hidden? Is it not the same God of the hidden that is controlling you? And the flesh will profit us what? And you don't even understand why God gave you his life. So that you walk in glory. So that you walk what? In glory. And have fullness of joy. Can we rise up?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.